Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1, it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they were come to Bethany upon the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying to them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto thee, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And all this was done, that it was spoken by, that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying," now that's Zechariah 9:9. "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, upon the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Father God, we thank you for your love and your mercy in our lives. We thank you for this great salvation you so freely give to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you're at work in this world, Lord. We're stumbling about. There's utter chaos. The world is almost entirely in flames, but you're Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that you have a plan and you're working that plan. Nothing will deter you. Nothing will dissuade you. And we're picking up speed. We're heading towards the end of days. And Father, I thank you that you have, in your great love wherewith you've drawn us, you provided all our needs. Father, even this morning in this service, if there's that one here today that does not know Jesus, I pray that the day might be the day of salvation. That, Lord, you'd break through their heart. They'd put away all fears and doubts. And they'd come to you, giving their heart and mind to you. Father, if other decisions need to be made, even today, I pray they'll be done so to honor Jesus. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. You know, I heard a little story about Johnny was wanting to go to the church on Palm Sunday, and the kids were going to do something special, and so he was looking forward to that. But he got severe throat infection, and so he couldn't go. So his older sister had to stay with him at the house, and so the family went on to church. And when the family came back, his older brother Jimmy raced in the house and said, Johnny, you wouldn't believe it. It was so exciting. We came in this morning, and we had palm branches, and we held them over Jesus' head, and we had this triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And Johnny said, "Wouldn't you know it? The only day I don't get to go to church, Jesus shows up." Well, listen, Jesus has showed up. I'm going to hold this to the last, but he's going to show up again, too. But nevertheless, this is Palm Sunday, and we've come this morning, and I love this section. It's not, you know, sometimes we think about this being a high point of Jesus' ministry. It's just really the start of the high point of Jesus' ministry, because we're looking at the cross and the resurrection, which are the high points of Jesus' ministry. But nevertheless, Palm Sunday is a unique time. It's a wonderful time. When we look at Palm Sunday, we see some very interesting things. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. He's coming to Jerusalem, and they're hailing him as a king. You know, the normal expectation of Israel at that time, they had messianic expectations. Have you ever had an expectation? Have you ever been so excited about something that you couldn't sleep? I suspect if you think about it for just a little bit, maybe when you were a child, you know, thinking about Christmas or something like that. You know, you were restless all night long. Your mom kept telling you, go to bed. And then 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that, boom, you're out of bed. You ran downstairs, you know, hoping there'd be something. You remember that? Some of you are just 2 days dull, you know. Something. I remember when I was in Korea, in South Korea. I got leave to come home for Christmas. Tell you what, I was looking forward to that. I was filled with anticipation. I hadn't seen my wife. I hadn't seen my son. My mom and dad were there, but they were just extra. But nevertheless, I was so excited about going home and seeing my wife and my baby. I was just, you know, buzzing about doing all kinds of things. But then I went to the flight line kitchen, I think it was, down on the flight line. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I ate a bologna sandwich. That's always good food that time, too. I ate a bologna sandwich, and before 10 o'clock, I was, did I say puking my guts out? Is that? I was vomiting, I had diarrhea, all at the same time. I had to choose which one I wanted to do, you know, because I was doing them both at the same time. And it was miserable for about 3 days. I mean, I was just, And you know, I didn't realize at the time, but you know, you can get dehydrated. You could probably die if you didn't get enough fluids, because like I said, I was heaving everything, you know, but the kitchen sink up. And so I was sick. And it was coming up on the time that I needed to go home. Get on that red tail. Go back to the States. You know, my wife was up here in the UP in Michigan, and I was wanting to get there. I was busting to get there, but I was sick as a dog. And so my roommate came in about 10:30 one morning. He says, get out of that bed. Just get out of bed. And he just literally hauled me out of bed. And he said, I'm taking you up to the dispensary. He said, you've been sick for 3 days. The houseboys are complaining. You know, they had to clean. You're going to the dispensary. You're going to get something for this. So he literally just carried me out, put me in a truck, and we went to the dispensary. I went into the dispensary. The first thing that guy did at the dispensary was say, why didn't you come in here and sick call like everybody else? And I told him this. I said, if I'd have been well enough to come into sick call, I wouldn't have come in at all. I think he got the message that I wasn't feeling good. So he showed me to the doctor quickly, actually. Don't go to sick call. Come in at 10:30. There's nobody there. Anyway, where's Ron at? Kirk, where's Ron Kirk? I saw Ron this morning. Oh, he's counting money. Ron was in the dispensary. He was there with me. Anyway, I go to the doctor. I tell the doctor, I'm sick as a dog. I'm vomiting. I've got diarrhea. I've had this stuff for 3 days. I think I've got dysentery. He says, I think you do too. He said, what did you eat? I said, a bologna sandwich. He says, it's probably bad bologna. You know, we pinpointed it. He said, take this stuff. This is going to do it. I said, now listen, not only is that my problem, but in 24 hours, I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to fly to Michigan. I'm going to see my family. And he said, well, what's that got to do with anything? You take this stuff and it'll get you better. I said, I get car sick. I get car sick riding the back of the car. So I get air sick real easy. You know how some of these people get over there by the plane and they look out the window and they go, oh, look down there. There's 20,000 foot down there. There's not me, buddy. I'm standing in the middle of the plane. And I'm not getting over there by these doors. One time when we flew back to Korea for this missionary trip, we got to sit by the door. And the guy says, oh, that's a wonderful place. You get to sit by the door. I said, is there any other place? I know these doors blow off of those things, you know. Anyway, I said, I got to go back to the States. He said, well, okay, here, take this. Every 6 to 8 hours, if you start feeling queasy, take this. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was around me. I don't know what it was. I don't know what the other stuff was. But I started taking the other stuff. I figured that if two pills was good, four would be better. So I started taking that stuff. And you couldn't have stopped me from getting on that plane. If I'd had to crawl up there, I'd have crawled up there, that plane. I was excited about going back home. I made it. I think the guy next to me that was sitting on the plane probably thought I was a drug addict. Because every 2 or 3 hours I couldn't remember which ones I was supposed to take every 6 days. So I just take them. But I didn't vomit anymore, and I didn't puke anymore, and I made it to Michigan. I got out of the plane, and my wife came running up, gave me a big hug and a kiss and all that kind of thing. Marvelous reunion. I tell you, it was exciting. I was looking forward to it. Later on, I found out she did that to everybody to get off the plane. She thought it was me every time. And then when I got off the plane, I was so emaciated, she didn't know who I was. But anyway, listen, we get excited about an expectation. Listen, Israel was excited about the coming of the Messiah. They had been expecting this back there in Genesis, you know, the very first promise of God. God said, you know, I'm going to put enmity between the woman's seed and Satan. And you're going to bruise He's going to bruise his head, and you're going to bruise his heel. Right there it began. This expectation that God was going to do something. And we see this story unfolding and getting a little bit more information. Every little bit, every 100 years or so, God would pronounce something. And God would initiate this expectation. And so by the time of the first century, the Jews were mostly certainly expecting the Messiah to come. Matter of fact, if you ever heard anything about the Dead Sea Scrolls, you understand that these folks, the Essene community, they were out there in the wilderness for one purpose and one purpose only, to get ready for Messiah. They were ready. You know, I thought to myself, here a couple years ago when we had our presidential campaign. There was all kinds of guys saying all kinds of silly stuff. My leg quivered when he spoke. President Obama. He wasn't president then. He was just a candidate. My leg quivered when he spoke. That was really goofy stuff. But, you know, what was that? Louis Farrakhan? You guys listen to Louis? Louis said he was the Messiah. Hey, listen. Those were overtones in our election. We're going to elect somebody that's going to save us. We're going to elect somebody that's going to turn everything around. We're going to elect somebody that's going to give us hope. We're going to elect somebody who's going to help the poor. We're going to elect somebody. All this racial tension is going to evaporate away. We're going to elect somebody to do all this kind of stuff. Listen, there's no such thing as a political Messiah. There's only Jesus. But the Jews were expecting him to come. And Jesus comes. He's born in the most unusual way, fulfilling prophecy there in Bethlehem. He's raised in this little town of Nazareth in Galilee by a carpenter. He initiates his ministry when John baptizes him in the Jordan. And he begins to minister. He talked like no man ever taught. He did miracles like no one had ever seen before. He brought the word of God alive again to the people. They said what? He teaches one like one with authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. Blind men came. He healed them. Leprosy, he healed it. There was a lady who came by in a crowd. Remember that? Just touched the hem of his garment. You know what that is? It's a little tassel they had on their garment. Just a little tiny tassel. She touched that and she was made whole from the issue of blood. Miracle after miracle. He walked on the water. He told the sea, Sabel Ruiz, be still. And the sea was calmed. But now the Bible says that when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethany. You know where Bethany is? It's just a little stone's throw away from Jerusalem. It's like Fort Wayne and New Haven. You wouldn't know one from the other. That's where Mary and Martha lived. In Bethany, or Bethage. That's where they lived. And Jesus is coming from Bethage. He's coming from there to Jerusalem. Remember, back there in John chapter 11? Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, was sick and dying. And they sent a message to Jesus. Come, Lord, come, come. But Jesus tarried, 4 days, didn't he? And he didn't go. And then he told the disciples, all right, guys, let's get up. Let's go. We got to go to visit Lazarus. He's sleeping, and I'm going to wake him from the sleep. The Bible says that they thought, oh, okay, fine. He must be doing better. He's just resting. No, he was dead. Jesus understood that. But he was going to Mary Martha's house. And when he got there, of course, they were in mourning, weren't they? Not only had Lazarus died, they had buried him. When Jesus comes, Martha sends word out. She runs out and says, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. That's great faith. But you know, she also said what? Even now, I know that if you say the word, he can be raised up. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Mary, same kind of thing. She comes to Jesus and she says to the Lord Jesus, you know, if you'd only been here, Lord. She said, I know you're. And Jesus said, that Lazarus is going to be raised in the resurrection. She said, I know that on the third day, you know, this is going to happen. I know the theology about the resurrection. I know that. And then the Bible says that Jesus, after the reaction of the crowd said, boy, you know, here's this guy who did all these miracles, made the blind to see, healed the sick. But his friend, whom he loved, he couldn't do anything about. The Bible says that Jesus groaned within him, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Where is he at? What did they say to him? Too late, Lord. He's in the grave. We've sealed it. If you open it now, he'll stink. Jesus says, where's the ant? Roll away the stone. This is one of the greatest passages in the whole Bible, isn't it? When Jesus walks out there and says, Father, I'm not praying this because we need this, but I'm praying this so that they'll know that you have sent me. And then he said what? Lazarus, come forth! You know why I love the back preacher one time I heard say that? If he hadn't have said Lazarus, everybody in the earshot would have come forth. You know, I can't imagine what took place there that day. I've got a wild imagination. You know that. I'm weird. But I kind of think of Lazarus hopping because he's all bound up. That's why Jesus said, loose him. Jesus is coming from Bethany to go to Jerusalem. The disciples told him when he said, we got to go visit Lazarus. We got to go visit Mary and Martha. They told him, Lord, if we go there, they're going to kill you. Thomas said what? Okay, let's go too. We might as well die with him. I think it's something like that. He's coming from there. And so here comes Jesus. He's on a donkey, isn't he? The people in Jerusalem are hearing, Jesus is coming. Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Bert, did you hear about that? Jesus was over here in Bethany the other day, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. Did you hear about that? John, did you hear about that? He was right over there. I saw it. I was there. I was at the fence. I was right there. Did you hear about that? I think that was... Don't you remember the lepers? Don't you remember the blind? That's Jesus. He's coming into town. They put two and two together. And they started pulling off those palm branches. You know, John said that these taller palms were, what were they, John? Majestic palms? Imperial palms. I didn't know that. Cool. I don't know if they climbed up any imperial palms. I don't know if they used a little one. I don't care. They started strawing the street with their clothes and with the palm branches. And they began to say what? Hosanna. Does anybody know what Hosanna means? Save now. You see, half the time Israel was in rebellion. Half the time they're just like us. Sometimes they are, their faith is boiling, and sometimes they're doing the right thing. Other times they're just, I don't know. But they got it right this time. Save now. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were welcoming as a king, as they should have been. He comes in. Riding a donkey. Israel's expectation of the coming Messiah king would be one of a warrior conquering king. Listen, Jesus is king. He's Lord of lords. He's King of kings. But God has another plan. Men's answer is to drop cluster bombs. Men's answer is to scrape and bomb and kill and capture, put in bondage other men. That's not God's way. Jesus comes in on a donkey. Not a white horse. Not a big charger. But a donkey. You know what the significance of that is? It is Old Testament pure and 100%. The hailing of the King of Israel is the hailing of a prophet of God as well. And he is the Prince of Peace, not war. They rode donkeys, the beast of burden, the lowly animal. Jesus seats himself on that donkey, comes into Jerusalem, because he is bringing with him salvation. Salvation. We have every expectation of all kinds of things, except the most important thing, the expectation of salvation. If we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will confess him and we will say, Lord, in my heart of hearts, I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. If we place our faith and trust in Jesus, we will receive the salvation that God had promised from the beginning of time. Isn't that amazing? Such a simple thing. There's no obstacle before that. The only obstacle before that is you and your clinging to sin. That's the only obstacle. Jesus comes in. He comes in as king, and they welcome him as king. They welcome him as Messiah. You know, I was thinking about Jerry, you know, somehow or another we could fill the screen with all kinds of wild stuff. I thought about, wouldn't it be good to get some old film footage of the Allies coming into Paris after, you know, during World War II? That's a triumphal entry, isn't it? Man, see all those Parisians running out in the street, throwing flowers on the GIs and kissing them and those kind of things. I remember hearing one guy, I think he was French or something, but I can't remember exactly. The gals were kissing him and he said, I'll go back out and come back in. You know, I'll just keep doing this all day. They were excited. They're being liberated. They were looking towards the liberation of God. That's marvelous. We see all those kind of things. Rome has probably had more triumphal entries than any city on the face of the earth. The Caesars came in. They always pitched a big party. Jesus came to Jerusalem as the Messiah and King. But you know what? That was almost 2,000 years ago, wasn't it? The old world has, like a drunken sailor, walked on, reeling, moving from one extreme to the other. And of course we have today all these wars. We have all this bondage going on. We have all this upheaval all over the world. We have radical Islam on the march. We have people in Africa, different tribal groups, cutting off people's hands and their legs and all kinds of barbaric things. We have people right here in America doing barbaric things. I just heard this on the radio the other day. I just appalled. I'm just getting appalled. I'm getting sick of the way we do things here. How about you? What's wrong with us? Mothers shouldn't be taping their children to chairs with duct tape and going off and fiddling around for 9 hours. What's wrong? What's wrong is they haven't received any spiritual counseling. They haven't nobody's took them to Sunday school. Nobody has helped them understand the principles of righteousness. Nobody has instilled in them the value of human life. Nobody's taught them anything. They're just going crazy, and it reflects that. Drive the kids off in a minivan into the river. That's the way to solve a problem. That's the world. It's utter chaos, isn't it? Utter chaos. You know what? I think there might be a little bit. We're always afraid of things that we don't know about and change. But I'm beginning to think that we're starting to think, Lord, come. Not just Maranatha, oh, come Lord Jesus. Really, in our heart of hearts, Lord, we've got to do something about this, and you're the only one who can. Come. Come. You know, I think an amazing thing that happens sometimes when someone is dying, you know, the family is always clinging to them, wanting them to live, and all those kind of things, and that's marvelous and wonderful thing. And I realize that my mother and dad have both died now. Praise the Lord, they're with the Lord. But nevertheless, I understand that whole process. But, you know, somewhere along the line, usually that person begins to say, let me go home. Let me go home. I want to go home. Sometimes they don't understand why they're still there and they're suffering. They want to go home. And, you know, I don't know how all that works, but sometimes I think about it in this sense that God is helping the family to prepare that they could go home. They've got to let them go. They've got to release them. And so there's a sense of expectation. I want to go home. I want to go home. I don't know about, I don't know about you. I do not know. No man knows the day nor the hour. But I'm getting a feeling in my heart. Lord, I want to go home. You say, well, you're 63. Remember, Bert, I said that some years ago. I'm starting to get to the front of the line. You say, well, you're getting so old, you know, you came over the boat with Noah. No wonder you're wanting to. That may be it. I don't know. But I'm starting to get a feeling in my heart. Lord, come on. I don't know how much more of this we can stand. The world is just reeling and rocking. Lord, come on. And guess what? The Bible says that this same Lord Jesus who came into Jerusalem, who came on that donkey, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, is one day coming again. Now, I hate to rock your boat a little bit, but this time, he's not coming as the Lamb of God. This time, he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. One day, the heavens are going to be rolled up like a scroll. It's going to be like Christmas paper. Ripping open! The sky is going to rip open. And the angel, though, I don't know, all it's going to be magnificent. And Jesus is going to come. The trumpet's going to sound. And time is going to be no more. And there's going to be a great get up morning on that day. Lazarus is going to be going, hey, brother, hi, hey. Yeah, it's going to be marvelous that day. Jesus is coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. How should we conduct ourselves then, if that be true? We're to what? To occupy till I come, the Lord says. That doesn't mean to sit down. I was telling somebody the other day, I love to be facetious. I love to kid and stuff like that. Where's Lacey at? She says, Pastor, you're always just kidding me. You're always being facetious. I love that. I was telling somebody the other day that I was out in the backyard. I pulled the hammock out. And I got out there in the hammock, and I laid down the hammock. That nice day we had, and my wife was out there, and she was rocking the hammock for me. And she would say, do you want a grape, honey? Here, have a grape. She rocked that baby. And she'd say, do you want some more lemonade? And she'd rush in the house and get me some lemonade. Come back out, you know. But listen, that's not how we're supposed to occupy. We're supposed to be on mission for Him. Do we know the Lord? Then let's tell people that don't know the Lord. Do we think and agree together in minds and hearts that it is our job and our task? And lost people don't have any tasks. They're not commissioned to do this. We're commissioned to do this. Maybe it would be a good idea that we begin to be faithful. Next Sunday, I should probably say, hello, good to see you today. See you next Christmas. Because that's going to be the way it is with some. Maybe we ought to get serious about serving the Lord. Maybe we ought to get serious about what we're doing with our pocketbook for the Lord. Maybe we ought to praise Him in everything that we do. Maybe we ought to get on fire for God. Maybe we ought to have an expectation that Jesus is coming. That Jesus is here. You know, when you go home today and you tell folks about the service, I hope that you could be so excited about what God is doing in your life that they would say, boy, the only day I ever go, Jesus shows up. Excited about the Lord's work. Are you? You need to be, Hosanna. Save now, Lord. Save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. And Lord, what a task you've set before us. Generations have come and gone, and some of those have been just dynamic. They have touched the world through your power and your spirit. Father God, we understand and see our place in this spectrum of history, and we know that this is our time. This is our time. And a great revival is sweeping the world. Father, help us to be a part of that right here, where we're at here, touching lives for Christ, ministering in the name of Jesus. Lord, if there's that one here today who's never received Christ, may this be the day that victory comes to their life. They're set free from the bondage of sin. For these things we ask in the powerful name of Jesus.